Listening to this message from Valley Bible Fellowship. It is our sincere prayer that you are richly blessed through the ministry of the Word. For more information about VBF, visit our website at vbf.org. Now, here's Pastor Josh Vietti.
Hey, good evening, guys. I hope you guys are all doing well. We're doing it a little bit differently tonight. I brought my chair from home and brought it into the studio that we're shooting in here. And I just wanted to, be comfortable. I wanted it to be like I was in your living room with you. And so, you know, thank you for letting me join you in your home. I appreciate that. That's really nice of you. It's funny. Last week I turned 40 and I'm feeling older. I don't even know why. I know it's, I realize it's purely psychological because nothing has changed since last week. I was 39 last week. I'm 40 this week. And, but the one thing that has got me thinking lately is this idea of how fast time moves. And I've been thinking about time in general. I've been thinking about what am I doing with my time? You know, I think in terms of decades, and from 30 to 40, it flew by. It really did. From 20 to 30, it flew by. And everyone that's older than me tells me that it even goes faster as you get older. And I'm thinking, man, if time is flying by, I want to make the best use of my time while I'm here on earth. You know, I don't know how much longer I have. I think I have, you know, another 30, 40 years. I don't know, but you just don't know what you have. We live in a country that's crazy right now. There's a lot of fears and worries. There's disease. There's unrest. We have weather events that we've never seen before. It's crazy. It's nuts. It really, truly is nuts. And so tonight I want to talk to you guys about time, and I want to talk to you guys about values and how those two can work together and can help us to have a better understanding of how to live this life and how to take it day by day, because that's kind of what we need to do these days, is take it day by day. And so before we start, I'm going to go ahead and pray for you. I realize that you're in your car or you're in your home, that you're watching this online. And I know it's hard when you have other distractions. I doubt there's a perfectly quiet room that you're in listening to this right now. But I would just encourage you to limit distractions as much as possible. And it's fine if you hear what I'm saying tonight, but ultimately, I want you to hear what God is saying to you. Because God is speaking to you. God is real. God is amazing. And He loves you very, very much. And as He is your Heavenly Father, He wants to look at you right now and just say that He loves you. He cares about you. That the things that are happening in your life right now are not a coincidence. That He's allowing those things to happen, even the difficult things to happen, in order for us to get closer to Him. And so I'm going to pray right now that God opens up our hearts and minds and just speaks to us through this time that we have together as we look at the Word and as we look at some of the insights that come from His Word. So let's go ahead and pray, and we'll go from there, all right? Father, we just come to you right now, Lord, and I thank you for who you are, God. I thank you for what you're doing in our church. I thank you for what you're doing in our lives. I thank you that you're allowing us to go through trials. You're allowing us to go through testing. You're allowing us to go through difficult times. And I know, Lord, that that's making us stronger as people. That's making us a stronger church. That's making us stronger individually. But we also have a role to play. And so I pray that you'd show us what our role is. I pray that you'd speak to us tonight. I pray that you'd speak to us and show us exactly what you want to show us through this teaching, Lord. And God, I just thank you ahead of time that you're going to meet people where they are. And I just thank you in Jesus' name and pray. Amen. Okay, so I want to start talking about time. It's funny, last week we were on a little trip for my birthday. And I was with another couple. My wife and I were with another couple. And the wives started talking about dad bods. And they were laughing about, you know, how myself and my wife's friend's husband have dad bods, but they were okay with it because they got used to it over time. So like we started off all right, you know, and then, but over time we just kind of got a little bit worse, but they got used to it every single day. And it made me think about how time passes and we don't realize the change that happens, right? I have a 9-month-old baby and she's amazing. And it's so funny because my sister comes to visit every once in a while, and every single time she sees the baby, she's like, oh my gosh, the baby has changed so much. And it's funny because my wife and I don't realize it because we are used to it. It's been gradual. It's been every single day we see the baby, we don't see the change, right? And so I was thinking about time, and I was thinking about how time is really like a measurement of change, right? And some of that change is good, and some of that change isn't good. And so what's interesting is how we live our lives, how we choose to spend our days. Like that's really what matters when it comes to time. I was thinking about the two issues that time causes, the effects of time on our lives. One is, we tend to worry about the future. Like we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. So we have this anxiety and stress and we worry about the future, right? Or on the other end, we stress about the past. We have guilt, we have regret, we have anxiety about the past. And it's really difficult to not live in one of those mindsets where you're either worried about the future or you're sad about the past. But it's so important to understand that really you can't change the past at all, and you can't do anything about the future. You can only do what you can do in the present. And what you do in the present will create a better future, right? Obviously, it makes sense. And so it's so important for us to be in the moment, and it's important for us to have the right mindset, and it's important for us to know the right thing to do as we do it. And so I want to look at a couple of scriptures tonight to help us understand how to be prepared in the moment, how to be present in the moment in order to have a better future, but not worrying about the future, if that makes sense. So I'm going to start in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, one of my favorite scriptures, one of my favorite books, actually. Ecclesiastes is really interesting. It's like there's a lot of wisdom in there, and it's really cynical at first, and I think I kind of understand a little bit of that because I deal with cynicism sometimes and catch myself, but in the end, the writer ends up having some good things to say and kind of simplifying life. But Ecclesiastes chapter 3, 1 through 8, it's kind of a famous passage. It says this: "For everything there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up what is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn, a time to dance, a time to cast away stones, a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace, a time to refrain from embracing, a time to seek and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to cast away, a time to tear and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace." It's really interesting because you have all these opposite actions, but at the right time, it's the right thing to do. It's the right proper action, right? And if you think about, you know, maybe going to a funeral, right? If you're at a funeral, we all know socially and understand what the proper thing to do at a funeral is. You sit there, you're respectful, you listen. Maybe you have an opportunity to come and speak and say something really kind about the person that passed. And we all know the proper way to act at a funeral, right? Versus going on a date with your wife and laughing and having a good time. Those are two different things, right? It would be inappropriate for you to act like you're on a date with your wife while you're at a funeral, right? It would also be inappropriate for you to act like you're at a funeral when you're on a date with your wife, right? So there's proper actions for proper times, and it's important to understand that. And so how do we know how to act in the right time? Like, how do we know what is proper in the moment? And I think that people that understand what to do in the moment are people that end up being much more successful and happy in the end. I think when you understand like exactly what you need to do and you do it, you're responsible, I really do believe you're a happier person versus, constantly doing the wrong thing, constantly doing the inappropriate thing, constantly even procrastinating and not doing what you're supposed to be doing. So how do we know what to do in the moment? How do we know? The key, I believe, is values. It's important for us to understand what's important. Okay, let me just get that through because that's huge. We need to know what is important in life, and especially as Christians. Like, we should know what is important to us as Christians. I wrote down a couple things that I think should be important to us as Christians. This is just a guideline. Everyone's different. Everyone's going to have their own detailed list. But as a guide, I just want to share these three things that should be valuable and important to us as Christians, okay? One is our relationship to God, obviously. Like, that should be important to us, our relationship to God. How are we doing with God? Are you following Him? Are you listening to Him? Are you praying? Are you seeking Him? Are you worshiping? Are you allowing Him to change your heart? Are you having this dialogue between you and God? Are you allowing Him to speak to you? Are you sharing the things that you need to share with Him, right? So our relationship with God is number one. Number two, second thing that I believe we should all value is our spiritual family. There's a Greek word for family, and it's oikos, right? You guys know it as the yogurt brand, but it actually is the Greek word for family. And I've always taken that idea to be the people that God has brought into your life. So it would be like your immediate family. Obviously, if you're married, it would be your spouse. If you have kids, it would obviously be your kids. But then it expands beyond your immediate family to friends, to extended family, people that you know that you're supposed to be living life with, your oikos, your family, your God-given family. So I think that should be really, that should be highly valued in our lives, probably right below our relationship with God. The third thing that I believe that we as Christians that we should value is those in our community that God is calling us to love, right? You can't love everybody all the time, but God will put people on your heart or groups of people on your heart to love. God will put a service project, or God will put some sort of mission in your heart, and He will lead you to take care of these certain types of people or certain groups of people or to a certain place. Maybe it's a church. Maybe it's at a small group. Maybe it's in your community, serving in your community at a food bank or something. God will put some sort of ministry in your heart. So that's really what it is ministry. So like the first thing is your relationship with God. The second thing is your God-given family. The third thing is basically the ministry and the community that God has put you in. And so I do believe 100% that if we know what is important to us, that we will be doing the right thing, right? And then we won't have to worry so much about the past or the future. We won't have to worry so much about time because our values will be straight, because we're following what we know we need to follow, okay? So the second scripture that I want to go to is Acts chapter 1, 6 through 11. So in this passage, Jesus has died, He has resurrected, He has revealed Himself to the disciples, to multiple disciples, multiple people, women, His mother, all these people. And they are getting together because He told them to go get together in Jerusalem, told them stick around, I'm going to send you this gift. And the gift was the Holy Spirit. So He told them to stay together, and they're in this place called the Upper Room in Jerusalem. And so it says this, and so Jesus appears to them in the upper room. And in verse 6 it says, when they had come together, they asked Him, Lord, will You at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? It's the wrong question to ask, first of all, but Jesus doesn't correct that. They're asking, when are you gonna restore the kingdom to Israel? When are you gonna free us from this Roman rule? When are you going to do this thing that we've always expected you to do? And he doesn't stop and say, that's not what I'm about. I'm about something much bigger and something much different than that. What he does is he says to them, it's not for you. This is such an interesting response. In verse 7, it says, it's not for you to know, okay? It's not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be, okay? That's so key, because he says you'll receive power, and then you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. So in other words, they're asking, when are you going to do this event that we expect you to do? And he looks at them and says, don't worry about when I will do what I'm going to do. Instead, focus on receiving the Holy Spirit. And that power that you receive from the Holy Spirit will enable you to be the person that I've called you to be. And those people that are called don't have to worry at all about times or seasons. Now, the two words, times or seasons, that he uses here, times is chronos and seasons is kairos. So chronos and kairos, he says, so Jesus says, it's not for you to worry about chronos or kairos. So chronos, basically, the definition is it's time as succession or measurement of moments. It's predictable time. It's events that just happen, right? Chronos is like the sun rises every day at about the same time, and the sun sets every day at about the same time. And you can plan your life around your days and your weeks and your months, and everything is measured. And, you know, I know that Tuesday is coming, right? It's coming next week, and I know about when that's going to happen. That's chronos. Chronos is predictable time. It's just time as it passes. We went fishing the other day, last week, and time just passed. The river flowed. The fish stayed there and looked at our hooks and didn't bite them. It was fun. It was a good time. But it was chronos. Life was happening. Clouds were going by. You know, life was happening. The other word that Jesus used was kairos. Now, this word is much different. It's not just time happening, but it is the season time, but not merely as a succession of moments. Kairos implies that which gives opportunity to do. Okay, kairos implies not the convenience of the season, but the necessity of the task at hand, whether the time provides a good, convenient opportunity or not. There's really no English equivalent to the word kairos. Kairos is like a window of opportunity. How many times have you looked back on your life and thought, man, I missed out on that, right? I should have talked to that other person that I kind of had a thing for, or I should have invested money in that thing, or I should have taken that job when I had the chance. Have you guys ever had any regrets and any thoughts of like, I had an opportunity and I missed it? Kairos is that window of opportunity. Now, what's interesting is these two words for time that Jesus uses, one, you can do nothing about, right? Absolutely nothing about it. Events happen. They happen. Even things that we can't predict happen. And that would fall into chronos, like large events. We've been through, I can think of in my adult life, I've already been through quite a few large events. Been through 9/11. Couldn't have predicted it. It happened. I had no control over that. Went through the economic collapse. Lost my house. Like, I had no control over that, right? The pandemic that we're dealing with now, no control. We have no control over those things. But we do have control over the opportunities. We do have control over the actions or the reactions. And we have to know what to do in those moments. We have to know what to do, right? And it goes all the way back to what I just talked about earlier. So let me ask you the question, if you're listening, if you're paying attention, how do you know the right thing to do in the moment? What's the key? As I said earlier, it's values. Knowing what your values are. Now, here's a simple definition of values, okay? It's simply what you think is important. What you value, you will put your time into. What you value, you will put your energy into. What you value, you will spend resources on. So your values are very important. So if you value your relationship with God, that's going to show. If you value your relationship with the people that God has brought into your life, that's going to show. It really is. If you value the ministry that God has called you to, that's going to show. Now, I'm not putting the guilt trip on anyone, but if you're not putting any time into those things, then that means that you probably don't value those things as much as you should. And I'm not blaming. I'm not saying that you're a bad person or misguided. I'm just telling you that you're missing out and you're probably stressing way more than you have to. See, God is good and God gives us gifts, but you have to reach out and grab those gifts. And you do that by following Him. You do that by living the life of the people that He's brought into your life. You do that by devoting yourself to ministry. And so the idea of kairos is just knowing what to do at the moment. And Jesus said, don't worry about it. Don't stress about it. Don't lose sleep over it. Instead, just receive the Holy Spirit. Listen to Him, and you're going to know how to handle those moments when they come. Right? You're going to know. You're just going to know. You can be prepared. Being prepared is so important. There was a UFC fight years ago. I think it was 2016, a few years ago, 4 years ago, where Conor McGregor, he was supposed to fight Rafael Dos Anjos. I had to write it down because I can't even remember. But Dos Anjos got hurt, right? He got hurt last minute. And they had to call in another fighter to fight McGregor, but it was like really close to the fight. It was within a couple weeks of the fight. And they chose Nate Diaz. And Nate Diaz comes in and he beats McGregor. I'm not a huge McGregor fan, so I was like stoked on this. I was like, yes, finally somebody beat this cocky guy, right? So Nate Diaz comes in and beats him with only 2 weeks' notice. How the heck did he do that? How was he able to beat this so-called champion with 2 weeks' notice? You know how he's been able to beat him? He was prepared. He was constantly prepared. He was working out hard. He was already in shape. He was already ready to go. He was already prepared. He didn't know that anything was coming down the road, but he was prepared for something, and something happened, and he was successful. You don't know how many times I've heard that story over and over and over of something falling into someone's lap, and they were able to accomplish what they needed to accomplish because they had been training, because they were prepared, because they were ready. Now, this speaks to me a lot, and I know that I need to be prepared for anything at any time. And I'm not always prepared, and that is something that I want to change in my life. I think going into this next decade, I want to spend my 40s learning to understand how to be prepared for anything that comes. And you know, COVID came and it shocked us. It threw us off. We didn't know how important it was to be prepared. And for some parts of that challenge, we were very prepared. And for other parts of the challenge, we were not so prepared. And so we've learned from that. So the next time something happens like this, we're going to be more prepared, right? So going back to the guidelines for values that you can use, I want to encourage you to build off of that list. You can start there, but build off of that list. So the first one's relationship with God, okay? Taking that, it's important to be detailed. So I want you to actually take the time to write down your values. Some of you have never done that before. Write down your values. What do you think is important? What do you value? And if you write down relationship with God, that's great. But what are the specifics in your relationship with God? What do you need to work on? Is it your prayer life? Is it your worship time? Is it trusting God more? What is it that you need to work on? If you write that down and you know what that is, and you do this on a regular basis, not just once and forget about it, but if you do this, keep it in your journal and revisit this weekly, revisit this maybe even daily if you need to. But looking at it and saying, this, my relationship with God is so important, these are the three things I'm going to work on for right now. These are the three things I need to work on. So write that down. Be specific. The more specific you are, the more attention you're going to give to it, the more focus you're going to have on your relationship with God, and all of a sudden, you're going to have a better relationship with God. It's just like anything else. It takes work. So the second thing, your God-given family, be specific. Write down what, your family members, who they are, not just your immediate family, but the friends, the people, the mentors, the people that you should be mentoring, the people that you know God has called into your life. Write their names down and write down the specifics of what you want to accomplish or what you want to see happen. And don't worry about the expectations with relationships, because sometimes people, they won't receive everything that you're giving. They won't respond to everything that you're trying to do. But people do respond to effort. They really do. And so, especially the right kind of effort, right? Like the kind of effort where they know that you actually care about them and you actually care about where they end up in life. So if you can write down ways of serving them, ways of sharing love with them, write down ways of sharing God with them. And that can be simple stuff. It can be, more drawn out stuff, but just write it down. The third thing is your community. What can you do for your community? You know, some of you are there, some of you aren't. I understand. You're not ready for that. But some of you are. Some of you are in a place where you are ready and you are prepared to go to the next level, and God is calling you to a deep ministry. Like I said when I began this teaching, we are in a weird time, right? We just are. You can almost say that there's a war going on, but a different kind of war, right? If you turn the news on, you'll think that the war is against two political parties, or it's against races, or it's against all these things. But those are all schemes that are built by the devil to get us trying to fight the other people in our neighborhoods, the other people in our communities. And that's wrong. That's not right. It's sad when you see something like racism, for example, and you see a real problem, right? And maybe it's a level 3 or 4, but the media makes it into a level 10, and all of a sudden you have people literally killing each other on the streets because of a real problem, but they have exasperated the problem. They have made it worse. They have exploited it. And there's only one individual in this world that I know that it's capable of exploiting things to that level, and that is the devil. I want to read to you one more passage at the very end, because I think that we need to know what we're up against. Ephesians 6, 10 through 13 says this: "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God so that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil." The devil has schemes. That's what he's a schemer. That's what he does. He's a schemer. He's a trickster. He tries to make you think certain things that aren't true. He tries to make you think a certain way toward a group of people. It says this in verse 12, Ephesians 6, 12. It says, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood." We do not wrestle against that other political party. We do not wrestle against that other race. We do not wrestle against the police. We do not wrestle against whoever the media, whoever the devil's trying to get us to wrestle against. We don't wrestle against them. We need to realize who our real enemy is. Our real enemy is the rulers, the authorities, against the cosmic powers over the present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places, against the devil and his little cronies, basically, right? Verse 13 says, "Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm." So that's my plea to all of us tonight, is that we would be able to stand firm, that we would be able to be the people that God has called us to be. And that is going to require us to live in the moment, right? That's going to require us to be people of prayer. That's going to require us to be people who trust God. And you can only trust God if you spend time with them. You know who I don't trust? I don't trust people that I don't talk to. I don't trust people that I don't spend any time with. But the more I spend time with people, even if they are a little shady, at least I know when to trust them and when not to trust them. I start to understand them. But God is not shady at all. God is trustworthy. He's going to come through for you every single time. And the more time you spend with him, and the more time you spend praying, and the more time you spend praying specific prayers, not that prayer of God help me today, right? That's just so vague. It's hard to understand if God's answering your prayers if they're so vague. But if you ask him very specific prayers and you wait and see how he answers those prayers, you'll start to understand that he is with you, that he's not going to forsake you. He told Joshua to be strong and courageous, for I am with you, says the Lord. And I believe that those words are so true for all of us in this time right now. So be strong, be courageous, stand firm, know that God is going to be with you in the moment. Okay, in the moment. The past is in the past. The Lord has forgiven you of all the things you've done through the blood of Jesus Christ. So believe that. Believe that and stop worrying about the past. Stop worrying about the past. Stop worrying if the church will turn on you if they find out about your past. Here's the truth. Everyone has a past. Everybody. We all do. Everyone's done something wrong. Everyone's done lots of things wrong. We're all in the same boat. And we do not, as a church, as pastors, as the people around, I know this community, we do not want to spend our time judging what you've done in the past. We want to spend our time helping you live a better present. And so don't worry about the past. Don't worry about what people think. If you walked up to me on the street and said, hey, Josh, you don't know how bad I am, I'd be like, yeah, I've heard it all. Trust me. I'm not worried about it. What I am worried about is where you believe you stand with God right now. And where you stand with him is right next to him, because he's here with you, because he loves you, because he takes care of his children and he's called you to be his child. And so that's an amazing thing. So don't take that for granted and realize that you are forgiven. And as far as the future goes, who knows what's going to happen? Who knows what's going to happen around the corner? But God will be with us. That's all I do know, is that he will not let go of us. He's with you now. He will be with you tomorrow. He'll be with you the next day. There's no reason to have anxiety about the future. There's no reason. There's not. You have shelter, you have food, you have the basic necessities. Enjoy your life, enjoy your family, enjoy the blessings God has given you. Be thankful for everything that God has given you and trust that he's going to take care of tomorrow. All right? Love you guys. Lord, I pray that you'd bless everybody that listened to this message, and I pray that you give us the courage to trust you and to get closer to you. And I pray that we would all take this seriously to learn what our values are, so that we wouldn't have to stress about time, we wouldn't have to stress about the future or the past. And I thank you for that. In Jesus' name I pray.
Thank you for listening. We pray that this message has ministered to your heart. If you don't already have a church you call home, we invite you to join us at Valley Bible Fellowship for worship, Bible study, fellowship, and more. We're at 2300 East Brundage Lane in Bakersfield, California, near Mount Vernon and Freeway 58. Reach us by phone at 661-325-2251 or visit our website at vbf.org. Here is our King, here is our love.